All right. Paper 117, section 2, which is old single column, page 1280. Okay. Let's see. I don't think we need any preface. Just remind yourself again the distinction of the title of this paper to the previous two, that you had an individuality name, another individuality name, you know, the Supreme Being, and then the Almighty Supreme. And now we have a unity name, God the Supreme. So you know that one, you want to always have that at the top of your mind, that you're trying to always bring in some top-down view to your sense of how this all hangs together. It's all very complex, but if you can, like I've told us several times, if you can challenge yourself to keep both the bottom up, the individuality viewpoint, and the top down, the unity viewpoint, in your mind at the same time, you know, and bounce that perspective back and forth, you'll begin to coalesce on a better understanding of what they're trying to get us to appreciate. Something that is, you know, innately complex. It literally embodies the totality of the finite. Every single creature, every single automaton, you know, every thing and being, you know. So it's by definition is the most complicated finite thing possible. But we're looking for the patterns that give us an inroad. And the adjuster will be helped by keeping a two-directional flow in your mind to visualize it. So let's jump in.
Section 2, the source of evolutionary growth. The Supreme is God in time. He is the secret of creature growth in time.
Yeah, his is the secret, yep.
Thank you. His is the secret of creature growth in time. His also is the conquest of the incomplete present and the consummation of the perfecting future. And the final fruits of all finite growth are power controlled through mind by spirit by virtue of the unifying and creative presence of personality. The culminating consequence of all this growth is the Supreme Being.
Okay. Now, we've been doing a lot of the Almighty and the Mother, contrasting those two aspects of the whole picture. Here they're wanting you to start out, at least, with a little bit different picture. A little bit more predicated on that oversoul picture that we started to talk about last week. So, the one thing you see is just a reinforcement of the power controlled through mind by spirit by virtue of the unifying and creative presence of personality. So you again have that personality, spirit, mind, matter picture being reinforced. So you know that's going to play a role. Let me put that right up front here. Okay, so you have the culminating consequence of all this growth is the Supreme Being. So there you have the full bottom-up view. You know, here we all are, a bunch of individualities, a bunch of individuals. We're looking upward, stretching our individuality consciousness all the way to the total level of the finite. And there is that culminating consequence of the total finite. That individual that embodies that total, the Supreme Being. And, you know, like we were saying last time, if you recognize that if you bring that Supreme Being totally into existence, we're talking about transcending the finite. We're not talking about a being that's standing in an absentite domain. And so he's not in time, but he's definitely related to time. And it's very similar to the way your soul is not in your mind, in your adjutant, your mortal mind. It's above it. But to say, okay, so there's that full individuality viewpoint. But the title of this paper is God the Supreme, where we're, you know, reaching all the way up there and then turning around and looking back down from that vantage point. So instead of calling that fact the Supreme Being, it's God the Supreme. And we say, well, now if that Supreme Being is like an oversoul and is going to be exerting an influence down into time, we can't think of really bringing the person down, but we could picture, well, what if I think about the self, not the person, but that person's self, his self projected down into time. And, you know, we pointed out you have, when you have these God, the, you know, whatever names, you're talking about some facet of deity, like the Supreme, and that is the self, a particular self that you're focusing on, and the personalization of that self, personalized deity is God, like in this case, God the Supreme. So, see how they word that? See, it doesn't say the Supreme Being is God in time, because he's transcendent of time, the Supreme Being. But if you can certainly, there's some validity to thinking about the self of that God, projected down, extended down into time. See, so the Supreme is God in time. So we're not talking Almighty and Mother here, but we're trying to just look at it from this more, unified, synthesized, in other words, Supreme Being perspective. Keep the Supreme together. And you're saying you could think about it like this, that you have the Supreme Being up there, and in time is the Supreme, you know, just the deity, the self. So you'll see that they're gonna build on that as we go forward here, because they want to get you to have a way of recognizing the superadditive thing that's in play. You know, you can start to think of, well, let's see, if I imagine having the Supreme and I split it into two chunks and part of it is the Almighty and part of it is the Mother. It's like, well, okay, that gets you going. But you have to recognize that the literal situation is the superadditive consequence of the relationship between the Almighty and the Mother is the Supreme. There's three things. Okay? And so, if we're going to think about what we're under the influence of, or what the overall phenomena is down here in the finite, we really do have to consider all three and how they fit into the picture, how we relate to them, how they relate to us. Okay. So that's what they're trying to build into the picture here more, is that is what happens when you think about the consequence of that super additive relationship, you know, literally the Supreme, you know, as itself.
Right. To mortal man, existence is equivalent to growth, and so indeed it would seem to be, even in the larger universe sense, for spirit-led existence does seem to result in experiential growth, augmentation of status. We have long held, however, that the present growth which characterizes creature existence in the present universe age is a function of the Supreme. We equally hold that this kind of growth is peculiar to the age of the growth of the Supreme, and that it will terminate with the completion of the growth of the Supreme.
All right. We've brought this up several times over past months here, that trying to begin to recognize the technical character of growth. It, like they're saying, it appears that you are growing. Just directly. But that's not technically what's going on. You're being grown. You're not a creator being. You're a creature. And so even though it appears that it's just this pretty much just automatic thing that you're growing, that's not really what's happening. You're being grown. And notice this suggestive wording, because we've put a label to that, the source of that growth. Who is growing you? See, it's a function of the Supreme. So here they're saying, for instance, like that function of the Supreme that we call the Mother. We know that's what's behind that statement because we've talked about it a number of times. And you'll see how that comes out a little more clearly when we go through this ensuing discussion. And, we'll also begin to get a little bit better sense on something we've touched on a number of times, this issue of giving a technical definition to growth as perfecting spirit. You have a progressing mind, but you have a perfecting spirit, that distinction that we've made, and that technically growth is perfecting spirit. All right, so keep those thoughts in mind as we go forward.
So is this a chicken and the egg thing? I mean, where does free will and our participation in this being grown by the Supreme?
Right, and that's a number of times when we've brought this very issue up, it's in the context of reminding ourselves of that sentence back in the religion papers, man cannot cause growth.
Okay.
But he can supply favorable conditions.
Which means cooperation.
Right, and the first favorable condition is the initiating condition, consecrating your will to the perfect will of God the Father. Nothing is going to happen until you give it permission to happen, basically.
So sequentially, which one's first?
Well, all of the machinery is in place.
Okay.
You're, immersed in the potential. Okay. But no potential is going to actualize until you say yes, until you allow it. So most fundamentally, you're a co-creator, you're participating in it by that fact. I mean, if you don't say go, nothing goes. At least, here. It's going everywhere else, but you're not part of the going.
Why don't they have the he capitalized?
Oh, well, I mean, you don't use that sort of capitalizing of pronouns notion here. I mean, there's no reason to be that sacred about it. That tradition of capitalizing he and him.
In some cases, you distinguish between when it was capitalized and when it wasn't.
Like supremacy, whether it's capitalized or not, or deity, whether it's capitalized or not. But, they're not using that sort of sacred capitalization of capitalizing he and him.
They did back here.
I mean, a lot of times they'll have it capitalized if they're quoting a Bible passage, where it's customary to capitalize, him, for instance. But if they're trying to not so much tie it to that historical precedent, they're just doing it directly. It's just a he. And in this case, this God the Supreme, is both creature and creator. Because you say creature, okay. But even the creator is not capitalized, right? Except for Magistan, there's no functioning as a creator. And again, the creator is the supreme being. So it's only when you really have that consequence functioning, and the only time it's fully functioned is that one time with Magistan, way back when. So by and large, it's lowercase c creator, and creature. So, much more you know, thinking in terms of something that you're not exalting with capitalization.
Consider the status of the creature trinitized sons. They are born and live in the present universe age. They have personalities, together with mind and spirit endowments. They have experiences and the memory thereof, but they do not grow as do ascenders. It is our belief and understanding that these creature trinitized sons, while they are in the present universe age, are really of the next universe age, the age which will follow the completion of the growth of the Supreme. Hence, they are not in the Supreme as of his present status of incompleteness and consequent growth. Thus, they are non-participating in the experiential growth of the present universe age, being held in reserve for the next universe age.
Okay, before we fully discuss this, we want to read the next paragraph, but let me just note a couple of little minor things. See, notice how they're trying to introduce you to the notion of thinking about what it means to be in the presence of, you know, not the Mother, not the Almighty, but the Supreme. And what's the difference about that presence? And you know, then this whole relationship to growth. So let's bring in that next little paragraph too, because the two go together here.
My own order, the mighty messengers, being Trinity embraced, are non-participating in the growth of the present universe age. In a sense, we are in status as of the preceding universe age, as in fact are the stationary sons of the Trinity. One thing is certain, our status is fixed by the Trinity embrace, and experience no longer eventuates in growth.
Okay. So, you maybe already are getting, why had us read those two together before we talked about them. See, they're both invoking beings that have this very definitive connection to the Trinity. And we know that when we see the word Trinity now, we're looking for mother-like expression. Okay. So, notice the point that this mighty messenger who's writing this paper is trying to make, you know, by bringing up these examples. You've got these various beings, like the stationary sons of the Trinity. Okay, that doesn't sound like a direction phenomenon to me. That doesn't sound like a father-like expression. That sounds like a place-like expression. That sounds like a mother-like expression. Something that is put in place to uphold a particular part of the whole, okay, a mother-like phenomenon. And you see that, I mean, how, you know, he's trying to emphasize just how definitive this Trinity embrace is to the phenomenon. When these individuals are either created or procreated or embraced by the Trinity, you know, or in relationship to the Trinity, and they acquire this mother-like attribute, boom. Even if there was a directional phenomenon before, that's it. It's locked. Okay, it is now place.
Locked in place.
Right. And you know, he's even pointing out that locked in place, or place-likeness, can be tied, you know, back to the pre-super universe level age or forward into the post-super universe level age, because mother is, you know, all through it. You have mother from the lowliest finite to all the way up to the infinite. Okay, so this locking in via relationship to the mother, you know, can be spread through the whole spectrum. And let's just think a little bit more about the creature trinitized sons. Even the longtime readers, you might need to refresh your memory a little bit about exactly what the deal is there. We mentioned, I think it was last week or the week before, this whole issue of you have the perfect beings in Havona, or, you know, not only the Havona natives, but you have paradise citizens too. So you have these perfect beings, you know, and And in come the ascenders as perfecting beings, and the relationship between that which is perfect and that which is perfecting, the superadditive consequence, is that which is perfected. So you end up, you have perfected finaliters, and you have these preexistent perfect beings. And they point out that both of them, either as two separate groups, the paradise citizens and the Vonanades on one side and the finalers on the other, either as separate groups or cross-fertilization, can procreate these beings called creature trinitized sons. Okay, none of these we're talking about are creators, so they're creature. But trinitizing, like, for instance, think about you as a finaliter. We've talked about this a few times. Because you're an experiential being, you're acquiring something the whole time that you're God-seeking, God the Father seeking. You know, basically he's pulling you through the universe here to the central aisle, and you're acquiring something as you're drawn through the universe as a God the Father seeking being. You're acquiring a measure of the divinity nature of God the Mother, literally. Literally, when you get there as a finaliter, because you now possess a measure of God the Mother likeness, you can do, just like we've talked about with thinking about the Supreme Being coming into existence, where we imagine the finite upholder, you know, the universal mother, basically holding up this hand and all of this summation, the parts of the Almighty are laid out upon that hand, and that hand as a mother hand is not only an upholder, but a focalizer. And it takes those parts and it unites them together, you know, as a focalizer into, you know, a measure of the Supreme Being, actualized and realized part of the Supreme Being. Okay. So you do the same thing. You can do the same thing as a finaliter. You know, two finaliters can get together and they can take all of these parts of almighty-like nature that because you've been doing a lot of power personality synthesis as you've been going up through your ascension career. And you can take those and you can serve as a focalizer, the trinitizing phenomenon, as a focalizer and bring that parts together literally as a being. You can only do that because you have God the Mother likeness, and you can actually participate in a trinitization phenomenon, you know, literally utilizing that God the Mother likeness. Same way with the Paradise Citizens and the Havona Natives. They have a God the Mother likeness that's come more from the Absinite, you know, aspect of the Mother, more the Absinite upholder, but nonetheless it's the Mother, and they can do the same thing as bring, you know, experiential acquirements, you know, together into a focus as a creature trinitized son, a literal being. So that you have very much a relationship between a mother and an almighty phenomenon giving rise to a superadditive consequence, a literal, separate fact, a being. Now, those are one thing, those two types of creature trinitized sons. The ones they're really pointing to here are, you don't really know what they're alluding to till you get right to the end. Being held in reserve for the next universe age. The ones that are being held in reserve are the ones that rise out of the relationship between one of those, you know, like say a Havona native and a finaliter. Because think about what you're doing there. It's one thing to have the superadditive consequence of the relationship between that which is perfect and that which is perfecting, giving that which is perfected. But now what are you doing? You're taking the relationship between that which is perfect and that which is perfected. And that basically transcends the finite to a significant degree. And it creates these beings that are, you know, in the present universe age, but not really, you know, of it. They're of the next age.
Both exempt.
Okay. And hence, they're not in the Supreme, and so they don't have this, you know, a growth paralleling the growth of the Supreme. Okay, those are called the trinitized sons of destiny. for obvious reason. Yeah, they're really about what's coming next. Okay, the other types are used some in relationship to Mother and Trinity functions. You know, in the universes, the other types of creature Trinitized sons are utilized in Mother and Trinity sort of roles, but these are they're just held in reserve. Okay, they're just not of this age. Okay, but you know, it just shows you how significant this this God, the Mother Nature, is that you're going to have acquired and possess, you know, as a literal part of your nature, as a finaliter. You can really participate in a focalizing phenomenon that is in relationship to that which goes beyond where you are now. Because, like we've pointed out, the Almighty is very much of the finite age, but the Mother goes on and was before and is after and all through. And so when you connect into the Mother, you're not just going to have this little finite chunk of motherness. You know, that may be the main part that you're gripping in any definitive way, but it extends beyond. Okay, and it actually can manifest in this age still like this, in these creature Trinitized sons. It really transcends this age. See, in the same way, you know, with the Trinity embrace, you take this, you know, as an ascending being, gets all the way to paradise, okay, but then they're embraced by the Trinity and they become a mighty messenger. And that whole direction thing that they've been doing is arrested. Now, they now are part of the manifestation of the Mother and not the Father. Okay, and they are supporting all of the other Mother and Trinity phenomena. You know, that it's going on in the universe. Let's see, what else is in there? Let's see.
Question.
Yeah.
Our growth is part of God the Supreme. Up until what point? Until we become finaliters or before?
It's, you know, first of all, it's synchronized with the growth of the Supreme to a degree. You know, we're all growing together. And we're all going to finish that growth together. Everyone is going to be growing until there is no more growing to do in any being or the Supreme Himself. And we're going to, you know, begin to talk about that some coming up, you know, in the next couple sections about what happens then. But yeah, I mean, the finite processes all come to an end together. The growth, in other words, the word growth is a finite word. When we're defining it as perfecting spirit, you know, we're using spirit in the finite sense of matter, mind, and spirit through the first two triodities. See, all that stuff gets transcended. You have the other 18 triodities, yeah, you know, that come into play in the absonite. And the whole, you know, from that perspective, simplistic separation into matter, mind, and spirit, you know, is transcended. Okay, so
I mean, an individual becomes a finaliter a trillion years ago.
Yeah.
And they're going to be a finaliter for another trillion.
Trillions years, and trillions and trillions of years.
Until
they're growing the whole time.
Okay.
Until the Supreme is complete. Yeah.
So their experience in creating what you were just talking about, a creature Trinitized son, would be part of the Supreme.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously all linked together.
But the product of the of that experience, the creature Trinitized Son themselves, are not part of the Supreme.
And
in but not of.
See, again, because like I said, I mean, the Supreme is also part of an ongoing process that the Mother transcends. You know, there's the Mother that you know, becomes or is utilized relative to the Supreme, but there's all the Mother that goes beyond that. And so, see, the Supreme is also part of something that goes beyond itself. And so, again, see, all of this stuff, I mean, after all, think about it. There has to be some way that all of us can transcend the finite.
Yeah.
So there has to be some opening on the top, you know, already some input from the top. If it was sealed, you know, the Supreme and all of us would just be eternally stuck in the finite. The Supreme needs a way out just like we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the in but not of mm-hmm. means that there's still a unity perspective someplace. They mm-hmm. they still are part of the whole thing.
Right, but just a bigger whole. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm back to say.
Yeah, good.
The mighty messengers mm-hmm. of Trinity embraced.
Right.
So they're not growing in the finite.
Right, see, they're the same way. So, you know, I mean, they do not grow anymore. They have experiences. And maybe just mention that. See, they continue to have progressing mind. They develop. Yeah. Mighty messengers are these creature Trinitized sons or, you know, any of these, you know, beings like this. They have progressing mind. You know, there's development, but they don't have perfecting spirit anymore. There's not growth. Okay. See, it becomes very important to distinguish this because you don't want to think of them as being static. Even though they're stationary sons, they're not static. Everything is in motion except the aisle. Everything still has to be in motion. But it's just what kind of motion? It's mindal motion, not spirit motion. It's not perfecting spirit, but it's still progressing mind. And even, there he is. You just shifted on me, Jim.
Yeah,
You used that volitional translation like you do on the Isle of Paradise, and suddenly you just were over there.
Everything's in motion.
He's a material being. He needs refreshment.
You thought about tea in there.
I don't even. I probably forgot my train of thought now. Anyway,
but so are you saying that the mighty messengers are stationary? They're like the opposite. They are finished with the spirit.
They're not an expression of direction anymore. They're an expression of place now. They're doing more of a mother-like role than a father-like role, you know, in the whole picture. And I really did. I totally forgot what the heck I was going to say. It's something what you were bringing up.
It's very profound.
It was sure. Probably profound, but I forgot. Anyway,
volitional something.
I don't. I'll probably remember.
Activity.
I'll remember later.
Growth
but
there's activity.
Mindful. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I think you got the point. Whatever.
Progressing mind instead of perfecting spirit.
Yeah.
So, the universe has to be, the grand universe has to be settled in light and love, light and life,
mm-hmm.
before the Supreme is complete.
Well, I mean, they're one and the same thing.
What, settled in light and life and the Supreme?
Being,
the
yeah, I mean, everything comes to so completion
all,
at the same time.
So it's all completed.
Yeah, everything is completed together.
We move up to God the ultimate.
Well, yeah, then, you know, instead of talking about the Supreme as this first most important experiential phenomenon that we're engaging, yeah, then it's all God the ultimate. Yeah, including for the Supreme. The Supreme Being is now another being, you know, that's in that greater scope of the ultimate, along with you and I. Now, the Almighty Supreme, you can think of, in terms of right now, is the power aspect of this, you know, of this expression of the Supreme here in time, of this God in time. You have the Universal Mother and the Almighty Supreme, the personal purposive and the power pattern. Universal Mother, Almighty Supreme. You know, and like I said, you know, we sometimes it's better to easier to understand if you talk about those two sides. Or I shouldn't say it that way. If you talk about the picture with that dual perspective, other times it's easier to understand what's going on if you just think about the Supreme together rather than these two facets. You know, don't split it into the Almighty and the Mother. Think about the Supreme together as one, which is something we're bringing in a little bit more here now. I mean, all are true. Simultaneously, but it's just what part of the picture is most directly an expression of the dual or the, you know, or the singular.
Okay, before you
okay.
finish. Okay,
right.
So the mighty messengers were like us; they were one-time mortals.
Right.
And they go through Avona. They go through all the different.
Right. Get all the way up to paradise.
And they get there, and then So they don't grow anymore. They're just waiting for the Supreme.
No, they're not waiting at all. They're very, very busy. They're just not doing father-like things anymore. They're more busy than you and I can even imagine, okay? There's not one shred of waiting going on. But they are not doing father-like things. You know, you go out in the universe as a finaliter, you know, as an injection into place, in a father-like mode, you know, poking your nose all over the place, you know, doing things. Okay, they have a very definitive role at a certain level in the picture, and they're part of upholding part of it. You know, they're working with the Ancients of Days, or you know, or whatever. All these beings that are doing Trinity or more mother-like roles, they have a definitive job, and they stay in that role until the end of finite time.
So does that make them good authors for this paper? Why would they choose somebody in that role to write this paper?
One of the things you can think about, the fact that they were a one-time ascender, just like you and I, they still have all of that nature in them. So it's like, why did they pick a divine counselor to do the God the Father papers, say?
Yeah,
because of all those possible beings that could really do that, they have the most relationship to our consciousness, and hence can, you know, it's easiest for them to speak our language.
Okay. Even though it had to be balanced.
Okay, so one other little thing, and this does tie again to Jim, and I'll see if I can not, you know, actually hold my train of thought on this one. Remember when, you know, when we started this paper and we brought up if all grand universers, you know, when we were pondering the if rather than the when, and I told you don't forget we're going to come up on this talking about who's writing this paper. See, so think about it in this light now. Just another reason why he would tend to say it that way. He no longer is viewing things in that I'm this direction phenomenon that's heading towards the end point. You know, so that it's when along my line. It's a different perspective that he's speaking from. There's no arrow going up anymore for him. He's a, you know, more of a stationary being, place-like being. And so he's speaking as his nature, you know, where it's, he doesn't look towards that and say when. For him, it's more of an abstract thing of if.
But it seems to me that the authors of the Urantia book have redefined several words. One of the most obvious is personality. We pointed out perfected. I mean, perfect is no longer an end result. Mm-hmm. It also now is perfected, and there's also perfect beyond the perfect. Mm-hmm. So there's new definitions. So when they put in italics, no longer grow, they're talking about, okay, you as human beings think of growth in a certain way.
Yeah, not like toenails getting longer.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about.
But they still, as you said, their mind is still, to use the same word, growing or expanding.
Right, but see, they're just trying to say...
It's the same kind of growth.
Right, it's progressing. Okay. Their mind is progressing, but their spirit nature is not growing.
That's hard for me to understand, but I can understand the words, but it doesn't mean that much.
And if it was easy for you to understand, you would have written this. That's the whole point of Revelation. Yeah, it by definition is not going to be trivial to understand, or we wouldn't have needed anything revealed. That would mean we already had it all in our heads. It is by definition, anything of value you're going to get out of the fifth epical revelation is going to be a challenge. You're going to have to reform your mind in order to even hear what they're saying. Until you reform your mind, you will not hear anything except the thoughts that were already in your head, no matter how many times you read it. You can read it 50 times, and you'll still be stuck in the old wineskins. You have to reform your mind, and then and only then will you have ears to hear. And you'll, oh, I see. Wow, that really is different. That changes everything. To think about the difference between progressing mind and perfecting spirit, to not blur mind and spirit together, wow, that's like not blurring self and personality together. And that... Wow, no wonder all the scholars in history have been so confused about everything. They've been blurring those together. I see now. See, you'll start to understand why we need revelation. I mean, as soon as you get something like that that isn't immediately understandable, your whole picture will change. You're going to have to sort through every single thing in your head and tweak things, because it's going to change everything. All, behold, all things will become new.
It won't take very long.
Yeah. No.
Hey, Andrew.
All right. So that was just a little aside that he did there to kind of reinforce. We're going to focus a lot on the Supreme, but don't forget, there's a lot of understanding in the Almighty and the Mother picture as well. And this is not the Supreme, when we're talking about the Trinity and this place, like, this is not the Almighty, this is the Mother, very definitively. Mm-hmm. All right.
This is not true of the finaliters, nor of any other of the evolutionary and experiential orders, which are participants in the growth process of the Supreme. You mortals, now living on Urantia, who may aspire to paradise attainment and finaliter status, should understand that such a destiny is only realizable because you are in and of the Supreme. Hence are participants in the cycle of the growth of the Supreme.
Okay, so here is another one of these examples.
Sounds vital.
See? Yeah, doesn't it? And see where they're tweaking you. What part they're trying to adjust a little bit. There's always been a tendency in humans, and even in longtime readers of the book, when they start thinking thoughts about that are the content of this paragraph, it's all about the Father in their head. But see, the Father's not in that paragraph. You notice that, okay? Trying to point out, what I've been trying to stress. The Father initiates, but that's it. Okay? You're not going anywhere without a relationship to other aspects of deity. And the particular one they're pointing out here is the Supreme. Like I was mentioning, you will not be grown if it weren't for the Mother. The Father doesn't grow you. The Son doesn't grow you. The Spirit doesn't grow you. The Almighty doesn't grow you. The Mother grows you. All these other aspects of deity are vital, okay, to understanding what you need to be about. You can't just fixate on the Father and expect to be growing. You have to consecrate your mind to the cosmic harmony as well. You can't just potentialize. You have to actualize if you're going to go somewhere. The Father only potentializes. And you can potentialize and potentialize and potentialize, and you're still not, there's no actualization yet. Okay? There's just lots of wishful thinking.
Okay? You don't like that.
But that's, and that's why, I've tried to point that out. That's the challenge. Do you have the courage to read these papers? These five papers? Compared to reading the first five papers in the book, the Father papers, which are much more immediate. These papers are a challenge. They're saying, do you trust in your relationship to the Father so much that you'll do what he did? That you will actually offload every single thing that he could possibly offload to other deity and only keep what he had to keep? Can you do that too? Can you offload your relationship to God where you only keep that which is actually connected to the Father, and then begin to recognize how you need all those other facets of deity, that are separate from the Father? Can you do that too? Can you free yourself from the fetters, of unqualified simplicity of God concept? Okay, that's what these papers are about. And, don't let the animal have the final say. That fears, it's like, wait a minute, I think you're taking away everything that I'm holding on to. No. Notice, you know, you're not. I mean, the Father gave you what you need. Yeah. Okay.
So we can't just have all these great ideas and this great relationship. We have to actually apply them to our lives and let it flow through us and apply to, you know, do the rubber meeting the road thing and actually apply what we've figured out and learned and have a relationship with. We have to actually apply them in our lives and our relationships and in what goes on every day. We can't just keep them in our minds.
Yeah. Remember that we had that tiny little,
effort.
that tiny little header note that began the Pentateuch here, remember what it was? One must do something as well as be something.
Yeah. I'd like to know what Pam thought she heard that she said she doesn't like.
It sounded like he was just saying that you can't concentrate. I mean, you can't put your faith and your everything into God the Father, that you have to also put it to the other God the Supreme or whatever he was, or the God the Supreme. I mean, I just want to concentrate. I love to concentrate on the old wineskin of Jesus Christ and the old wineskin of God the Father.
But notice what you said, Pam. Faith. Did I say that you should put your faith in something else?
I don't know what you said.
All right.
No wonder you didn't like it.
Right. See? So you know I wouldn't say that your faith should be directed somewhere else. I mean, your faith comes from the Father. You know, it's only because of the personality he gave you that you can have faith. So obviously, faith should be directed to the Father. But what about everything else?
Everything comes from the Father, though.
But not directly.
Yeah, indirectly it comes from Jesus. On down, with the angels and so forth.
For instance, mine doesn't come from the Father.
We don't worship anybody but the Father.
Right, but see, again, we've got to do more than just have faith. We have to actually do something. Okay? We have to do something. And the Father is not the source of doingness. The Father is the source of beingness. He made you Pam. He made you a being. How do you do things, though? If he's not the source of doingness, who do I turn to find what I need so that I can actually do something? Do something like move up the psychic circles.
Well,
my faith doesn't move me up the psychic circles.
Is there a sense, though, that the Father is unity, but in splitting out all of this, he put all of these other resources out there that you're talking about, including the Supreme. Mm-hmm. So that comes from the Father. It's just the mode that he has designed the universe to work under has all of these other aspects that have to be recognized. And
he's the first source and center of all things and beings existentially. But you're a lot more than just a mere existence. If you were a mere existence, there would be no place for talking about growth. You would be done. If you were a mere existence, you would be infinitely perfect, period, end of story, by fiat, at your starting point. You know you're not. You know you're not perfect. Okay? There's this whole experiential thing that you're doing. The Father doesn't have experiences. The Father's an existential fact. So when I'm having experiences, where is that coming from? What's the source of my experiential ability? He made me something that can be so that I had at least the potential of experiencing something. Obviously, if he didn't make me something, I couldn't experience. Well, once he's made me, now what am I relating to?
Trust.
Yeah.
So, when I talk about the difference between having faith and living your faith,
exercising your faith.
Isn't that, having faith, that's your relationship with God?
and doing it.
And I don't want to try to totally explain this right now because that's where they're trying to take us. Yeah, you got to remember, with this book, you will never completely understand everything you're reading. Because you're supposed to just go, you let yourself go with it. Let it grow. They're trying to lead you on a path. Okay, you can't have it all in one sentence. It takes a big book, you know. And so let it roll. See, they're going to try to build this picture up in your mind that you're, you know, attempting to build and express there. They're going to try to help you to understand how exactly to think about that, to see how what you do, and you'll recognize it's what you do, how that's related to the Supreme. Okay? All right, one more.
So, Pam, this week, last week I found a quote that I've been really been focusing on, and it helped me to, you know, figure it all out. And it's in Paper 5, Section 3, under True Worship. And it says, well, I have the two columns, but it says 66, so you can try that. It's paragraph 5, and it says, when you deal with the practical affairs of your daily life, you are in the hands of this spirit personalities having origin in the third source and center. You are cooperating with the agencies of the conjoint actor. And so it is. Now here's the piece. You worship God, pray to and commune with the Son, and work out the details of your earthly sojourn in connection with the intelligences of the infinite spirit operating on your local your world and throughout your universe.
Yeah, I can stop.
That helped me a lot.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, because I didn't know we were supposed to pray to the Son. So that's where I was hung up, praying to the Son. So I thought that was really cool.
Okay. All right, so let's keep rolling here some more.
There will come an end sometime to the growth of the Supreme. His status will achieve completion in the energy spirit sense. This termination of the evolution of the Supreme will also witness the ending of creature evolution as a part of supremacy. What kind of growth may characterize the universes of outer space, we do not know. But we are very sure that it will be something very different from anything that has been seen in the present age of the evolution of the seven super universes. It will undoubtedly be the function of the evolutionary citizens of the grand universe to compensate the outer spacers for this deprivation of the growth of supremacy.
Just two little things to notice there. One, notice how, remember I pointed out how they had that once word at the beginning of this paper of using the expression grand universers. See the parallel here? Outer spacers. They're doing the same thing, see? Just showing you, you have that hole, and then everything's going to translate to a bigger hole. Okay? This actually touches on the thing that I was going to say to Jim that I forgot. That I couldn't hold my train of thought on. This parenthetical here is what I was going to, I forgot it was coming up, was what I was going to point out to you, Jim. See, his status will achieve completion. Okay, why doesn't the sentence just end there? Why did they stick in the energy spirit sense? Okay, and you will have a completion of everything that goes into the Supreme in an energy spirit sense, but mind is never complete. It goes on and on and on. And as a matter of fact, literally the Supreme Mind is essentially of the absentite and not of now. There's you know, some initial subtle presences of Supreme Mind, you know, down here in the finite, like reflectivity. But literally, you know, the Supreme Mind, the mind of the Supreme Being is just that, the mind of the Supreme Being. Okay, and again, see, it, even though he's a completed Supreme Being, his mind continues on because that mind is in a mind womb, it's in a mother womb, the absolute upholder, you know, mm-hmm. God the ultimate as God the mother, you know, he's in that greater mind womb just like we will be. And that progressing mind goes on.
Doesn't the mind have the potential of the infinitude? I mean, that's what the infinitude is about, really.
Well, I mean, you know, you go all the way up to infinite mind, so.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
The infinite mind of the infinite spirit, I mean, yeah. You know, it's limitless, so it just goes on and on and on.
When they say that they don't know what type of growth will go on in the next stage, can we speculate that it will definitely challenge perfect beings and perfected beings?
Yeah. And that's not a speculation, that's trivially
right.
obvious.
And,
yeah.
And then the combination of the perfect and the perfected would be the super additive environment out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a starting point, like this Trinitized Sons of Destiny reflect that first, you know, a couple inches over the threshold into the absonite. You know, it's a starting point. You know, where it goes, who knows? But, you know, most fundamentally, the word growth, like they're saying, is going to lose all simple understanding because you don't have this simple matter, mind, spirit, you know, sort of energy phenomenon. You don't just have the first two triadities. You have all 20. Okay, and all of these things are all interwoven in mind-boggling, completely non-understandable ways. Okay, so you can't just say, oh, okay, so here's progressing mind and here's perfecting spirit. Okay, I understand that, and this is development and this is growth. Because it's all going to be interwoven, you just don't have this nice, clean thing that you can call growth anymore like we call it now. It's, you know, so we don't even know how to talk about it, and they don't either. Okay, that's what they're pointing to. I mean, you can say, well, there's going to be something that's going to be like what we now call growth, but not in any simple extrapolation way, because the three substances, you know, or the three energies don't just extrapolate into the absonite. You know, it completely goes into an insanely more complicated space, you know, of 20 dimensions instead of three, or whatever you want to call it. You know.
Question.
Yeah.
When this talks about his status will achieve completion in the energy spirit sense,
mm-hmm.
does that imply that, like on our world or other planets, that instability will have been completed and there won't be more earthquakes and volcanoes and things like that, but there will be a... Like that's also, in a sense, perfecting.
Yep, everything.
Achieving
every single thing. I mean, you don't have any sort of vicissitudes like that on a Havona world. You know, in every material thing, all of the finite evolution is perfecting as well.
What about on Maranja worlds?
Well, I mean, you know, there won't even be Maranja anymore. You know, once all of a sudden, I mean, the only reason that you have Maranja is to bridge the gap between matter and spirit. And you're going to bring matter and spirit together as one. So, okay, there's no need for Maranja. See, there's even no need for mind as we currently understand it. You know, as some simple little linear thing. You know, which should remind you just how simplistically we're even currently viewing the seven absolutes of infinity. You know, where we think really kind of simplistically of, you know, there's the aisle and there's the sun and then we draw a line between them. There's matter here, there's spirit here, and there's mind and along the line. See, that's all a finite viewpoint. It's really insanely more complicated than that, infinitely more complicated than that. But we can't comprehend such things. You know, all we can talk about is the finite projections of such absonite things. You know, the Isle of Paradise, you know, when we talk about its shape and all that, that's its finite projection. Yeah. And we can't even talk about its absonite projection, okay, let alone what it is in some absolute sense. Okay, this is all from a finite viewpoint, you know, because that's the only thing we can think. That's the only thing the authors can think.
All we're capable of.
And it's all the authors are capable of. Okay, it's all in that mode.
Chris, and it gets to the mind of the super universe, the master spirit. You can only think in the context of that, the spirit of that mind. right. that mind spirit.
Right.
I mean, you know, yeah. and it's
even that, right.
It's presenting because those the realities respond to that mind.
We can't even think about it like if someone in the first super universe thinks about it, you know, let alone anything greater than that. So,
yeah.
right. It's, I mean, the reality is we can't even think outside of our local universe yet. Okay, so yeah, we're right. very limited.
If an edge of light and life involved no more vicissitudes mm-hmm. of planetary existence, then mm-hmm. we will probably all have been offloaded to architectural spheres because just the physics of the how the suns burn out and consume all the planets in their orbit.
But they don't. Suns don't burn out. Suns are encircuited and are eternal. The suns of inhabited worlds are become eternal objects. They're encircuited by the master physical controllers and are made eternal objects.
The second law of thermodynamics, days are numbered.
Right. I mean, all of, now that's the finite, because the finite days are numbered. You know, so all things that express the fact of finiteness are numbered, and their days are numbered. See, and that's one of the big questions. How many things are going to be eternal, and how many things are going to get swept up, you know, and absorbed into other things? I mean, you know, do you need mercury in eternity? It's pretty hard to imagine why. I mean, how exactly is this all going to see? But it, you can't even think about it because, you know, we know the solar system as a group of planets orbiting about a sun, all separated by finite distances. All finite distances will be transcended when everything transcends the finite. So the whole geometry of the system is transcended. So what does it look like? You can't think about such things. We can't, you know, it's just, so, you know, you have to just let that always be in the back of your mind, that everything you know is going to sort of all come to an end, you know, like they're saying. There will come an end. See, sometime. all right.
We have to, though, you know, I know in the past that people would come to the conclusion, it's just, you know, I'm going to forget about even trying to do it. I mean, I come across individuals say that today. You know, I used to try to think about the universe. I gave up. You know, it's not even worth it. You're not saying we shouldn't keep trying on this level that we're able to understand, but always keep a humility in the back of our heads saying, you know, this isn't the full picture. Take it for what it is.
Right, exactly. Right. Just recognize what your task is. Eternity is a long, long way off. So, you know, you need to see yourself in very humble perspective. You're just beginning to even have. I mean, how recently did the Father give you a potential to be anything, to think about anything? I am, therefore I think. Okay, none of us are that old. None of us are a million years old. It's a pretty recent event that we were potentialized. So don't expect yourself to have actualized very much yet.
We're still therefore.
You have an infinite distance to go yet. You know, you have just the minutest of actualization. All right.
Chris, I remember a fellow in the church I was in Madison who wasn't sure he wanted to survive and go to heaven. Mm-hmm. He thought it sounded like it'd be kind of boring.
Yeah.
But the picture the Urantia papers present is anything but boring.
Right. The problem was not heaven. What was the problem?
His thinking.
The tiny little space that tadpole was in. Yeah. You know? All right. Well, okay.
Like saying that this is all there is. As existent upon the consummation of the present universe age, the Supreme Being will function as an experiential sovereign in the grand universe. Outer spacers, citizens of the next universe age, will have a post-super universe growth potential, capacity for evolutionary attainment, presupposing the sovereignty of the Almighty Supreme, hence excluding creature participation in the power personality synthesis of the present universe age.
And just see, notice how I've tried to help get you to stress that linkage, like they just did there. The linkage between the term the Almighty Supreme and the power personality synthesis part of this. The unifying part is one thing. That's tied more to the mother. But the synthesizing, that's tied to the Almighty. Okay, and the Almighty comes to an end. It's incorporated into the Supreme Being. The mother goes on. You know, and so it's not just that, but the extent to which you are acquiring, you know, measures of Almighty likeness, power, personality, synthesis. You know, like they're saying, that's all going to come to an end. So it's this, that's very much a present universe age picture. Just keep that really tight. Synthesizing, unifying, Almighty Mother.
I think what's interesting is, so they're talking about these outer spacers,
mm-hmm.
and after they, so when they become, when they're out there, and we've already all evolved to this point,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to, they don't even have to evolve anymore, because then they go from
right.
that.
There will be no more evolution. It'll all be eventuation and experience, you know, in that context.
I'll eventually get there.
Yeah. There'll be progression and there'll be something like growth, like they're saying. It's just going to be very more complicated than it is now.
Thus may the incompleteness of the Supreme be regarded as a virtue, since it makes possible the evolutionary growth of the creature creation of the present universes. Emptiness does have its virtue, for it may become experientially filled.
If the Father hadn't freed himself from the fetters of unqualified infinity, there's no potential. There's nothing.
A blonde joke in there somewhere.
Yeah.
What did he say?
A blonde joke. That's why that line is in here, to give you a little more perspective on, again, why did he need to free himself from the fetters? Why couldn't he just stay totally, you know, enmeshed in everything? Because then there wouldn't be any place for you. He fills everything, then where are you going to be? You know, he has pull himself out, you know, and once you recognize the logical necessity of him being outside of where you are, so that you don't suddenly feel a vast infinite emptiness, that's when you need to really discover the individuality of the whole. What facet of God is in there with you? If the Father is out there and only, you know, injects little threads into that. Yeah.
Well, we do feel a vast, infinite emptiness.
Yeah.
And we do feel that, and we're searching for him.
Yeah, really the Father, that's one of the things that he created the potential in you to feel a vast emptiness. See, that's another reason why the fifth epical revelation is here. It's time to discover that. You have a lot of people who have recognized the Father, and then they go on to just start having a growing feeling of emptiness. You know, you got to get the rest of the picture in there. Because the more you truly recognize the facts of the Father, the more you understand how far away the word infinite implies. The infinite Father is really, really, really far away. You know, and it's just going to, the space is going to get bigger and emptier and emptier and emptier, see? Unless you recognize what part of deity fills this seeming void. That it really isn't empty. The Father didn't literally leave behind a void.
One of the most intriguing questions in finite philosophy is this. Does the Supreme Being actualize in response to the evolution of the grand universe? Or does this finite cosmos progressively evolve in response to the gradual actualization of the Supreme? Or is it possible that they are mutually interdependent for their development, that they are evolutionary reciprocals, each initiating the growth of the other? Of this we are certain. Creatures and universes, high and low, are evolving within the Supreme, and as they evolve, there is appearing the unified summation of the entire finite activity of this universe age. And this is the appearance of the Supreme Being. To all personalities, the evolution of the almighty power of God the Supreme.
That last thing, like we pointed out, this bottom-up view tends to see the almighty, you know, first in the picture. But just united summation, that's Mother and Almighty coming together, you know, in that order. This first thing, someone mentioned it at some point tonight, the chicken and the egg, you know, issue. That's those initial questions. That's pointing out the limitation of trying to understand this just with the notion of the Supreme Being, God the Supreme, I mean, you know, everything sort of just, I mean, talk about the Supreme directly. To really, you know, break this logjam with the chicken and the egg, you need, or is it possible? Okay. That's, you know, and we've been already talking about that, you know, so that we don't get stuck on trying to figure out how to start the process. If you bring in the Mother, the action flowing down, and the Almighty, the reaction flowing up, okay, which came first, the action or the reaction? That's not a hard question to answer. Okay. See, it's you by bringing in the Mother and the Almighty, you can break this conundrum of trying to think about it just when you're thinking about just the Supreme, the, you know, either the you know, the unified summation, the unified synthesis, the Supreme Being, or the unifying synthesizing, you know, deity, the Supreme. If you can break it into the power, the personal purposive part, the Mother, and the power pattern part, the action and the reaction, then you can begin to sort the picture out, say. Mother, and so, and just one, add one little thing to that. So the Mother is this downward flow reaching into the finite, and the Supreme, or the Almighty, excuse me, the Almighty is this upwelling flow. You have a focalizer and a summarizer, okay? Like they pointed out back in the first paper. And think about how they need each other. I mean, you've got all this stuff being, summarized. You have this summation that's building here. But something's got to bring it together. Got to unify it, bring it together into one being. The summarizer needs the focalizer. The Almighty needs the Mother. And then the other way around. Obviously, if there's nothing, if no parts have been created, I mean, there's nothing to bring to a focus. Okay? The Mother needs the Almighty. So it's not quite so confusing of a chicken and egg thing. See, if you think about it that way, it's completely, you know, and you can see it logically from both directions. It makes sense. Whereas, you know, saying things that are like these first two, which are more like the antecedent following sort of statement, is a little bit, you know, confusing. Like, well, what is an antecedent following? So that's the key. So you can break out of this by bringing in the Mother, and the, you know, very definitively separate from the Almighty. Yep.
Earlier on, we were talking about the indispensables mm-hmm. for civilization. And after you reach a nation state status, mm-hmm. one of the indispensables is God consciousness.
Yeah.
And then we were talking about light and life, and I was wondering if one of the indispensables for a planet in light and life is to have supreme consciousness.
Yeah. Oh. Hold that. It's actually, if you glance down into this next section, 1, 2, 3 paragraphs, yeah. What do you see? God consciousness. It's coming up. Yeah, they're gonna touch on that here in just 1 second. But do you want to read some more? Or do you someone else? You want to pass it over to someone else?
Yeah, pass it over.
Someone else want to jump in? Okay. Ever ready, Jean.
Gets into a routine.
All right. So you see, this is very much tied to this one. They're wanting you to get going on the Supreme. See, so what's the significance of the Supreme, the universe creatures?
Three, significance of the Supreme to universe creatures. The cosmic reality, variously designated as the Supreme Being, God the Supreme, and the Almighty Supreme, is the complex and universal synthesis of the emerging phases of all finite realities. The far-flung diversification of eternal energy, divine spirit, and universal mind attains finite culminations in the evolution of the Supreme, who is the sum total of all finite growth, self-realized on deity levels of finite maximum completion. The Supreme is the divine channel through which flows the creative infinity of the triadities that crystallize into the galactic panorama of space, against which takes place the magnificent personality drama of time, the spirit conquest of energy matter through the mediation of mind.
Okay, bit of poetry there, but there it is again. The spirit conquest of energy matter through the mediation of mind. So they're reinforcing that, mentioning the triodities again, further reinforcing it. And notice the drama. Okay. Now, obviously, we don't mean drama in the conflict and emotional sense, drama, sort of sense of it. What's the true meaning of the word drama? Doing. Oh, that reminds me of that sentence at the back of the beginning of these set of five papers. You have to do something. Okay. What do you do? You do this. Like they said up at the beginning here. The unifying and creative presence of personality leads to directed spirit, which leads to coordinated mind, which leads to controlled power.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what you're supposed to be doing.
You won't see these things unless you're doing.
Right.
They won't appear in your mind.
You have to be doing that. Okay? And, faith doesn't do that. Faith just starts that. Faith is part of recognizing your personality, which is where it has to start. But that doesn't pattern spirit, and that doesn't coordinate mind, and that doesn't control matter. That just initiates it. It's a father thing. It initiates. What are you relating to do the doing part, to take it through this? So doingness, action, that's what they mean by drama. The true meaning of the word drama, doing, it's literally doing, so or action. You have to act.
Said Jesus, I am the living way. And so he is the living way from the material level of self-consciousness to the spiritual level of God consciousness. And even as he is the living way of ascension from the self to God, so is the Supreme the living way from finite consciousness to transcendence of consciousness, even to the insight of absonity.
Okay. Well, the extrapolation to the Supreme there is pretty straightforward. But think they're taking us back here to our little chart that we've started using now. Remember how we pointed out when you're talking about the Supreme Creators and the Supreme Controllers, on these first three levels, first three cosmic levels, 1, 2, and 3, that once you finally have a Master Son, then you have Supreme. Our mastery spread through that whole, bottom portion. of the sevenfold, that's the one missing element, you know, is them going from creator sons to master sons. Well, that's what we're talking about. You know, this whole bit about I am the living way, when is that true? When he pours out the spirit of truth, which he can only do once he becomes a master son. And what is he doing? So think about what they're trying to challenge you about God consciousness here. You know, it's in this context that they want you to think about God consciousness. In connecting where you start down here as just a self-conscious creature on this zeroth level here of the cosmos, and he bridges the gap up to level four, the supreme level. That's what the spirit of truth does. Remember, because then you can get a thought adjuster right away when you're a seven circler. You don't have to work your way up. You don't have to grow your way up to the fourth cosmic level, which is the lowest that the adjuster can reach in and of itself. You've got the bridge between time and eternity. You have the spirit of truth to link the rest of the way down. You know, I am the way up. So this is an example when I've pointed this out at you. When you go to the Light and Life paper, you know, they mention in passing that, you know, you finally get into Light and Life, and now more and more angels are coming to a world because more and more individuals are actually becoming third circlers during their mortal lifespan, you know, which is about 500 years at that point, you know, or longer. So you think about, you know, and so, you know, just bringing that up, you know, you talk about God consciousness being an indispensable to advancing civilization. You know, advancing civilization up there in Light and Life, we're talking about real God consciousness now. We're talking about something that is not just a little faith thread link. You know, we're talking about something that's literally immersed in the supreme, you know, in full 360 surround sound connection with the supreme. Okay? That kind of God consciousness. Right? And see, and the master son is, you know, he's the first fruits of that fact. You know, that first fruits of really getting mankind so that mortal life is not just about these rudimentary levels. You know, deep into, you know, first stage, second stage, third stage, fourth stage, you know, way, you know, fifth stage of Light and Life, etc. Mortals on those worlds, see, who are actualizing and realizing these much higher levels of potential that are only possible when you have, you know, a fuller connection to the supreme to start with. The lives on those worlds are more eventuated than our lives. More of evolution is bottled up into their starting point. They start above a level, you know, that we do. Matter of fact, they start, you know, when you're in the fifth stage of Light and Life, say, they're starting at a level you can't even imagine yet. You know, they're starting there. They're starting so far beyond what you can even imagine. So they're doing things. They're participating in the supreme and in the cosmos in ways that are unimaginable to us. You know, and that's why people, you know, you brought up that, you know, it sounds boring. You know, you take what little extrapolation potential we have and you go, well, you're going to burn that up pretty fast. And then I guess everyone just goes into a flatliner mode for all eternity. Okay. So that shows you how little imagination mankind has. How, you know, like they tell you, you can't even imagine a world in a post-pastoral state, normal world, let alone something deep in Light and Life. It's beyond your comprehension. What's going on those worlds?
Chris, it means that there's less and less that's subject to the second law of thermodynamics and just dying away when you get to those higher levels. Mm-hmm. It's instead of this matrix that's falling away, you have this tremendous downpull of material gravity. You've got more of this, mm-hmm. of its being bundled together and going upwards.
More and more, it's cosmically real and is upheld, so it doesn't fall off with the second law.
Yeah. Okay? And neither do we.
It's upheld. Yeah.
What's the second law of thermodynamics?
Entropy.
Everything decays.
Everything that
if left to itself, it decays.
Material things unravel.
It goes from good to bad.
You know, you make an absolutely perfect, gorgeous garden, and if you don't, you know, fastidiously uphold it, you know, the second you turn your back on it, okay. You know, when they build something on a Havona world, do you think as soon as they turn their back on it, it just evaporates and they got to start from scratch again? No. It's
What's
eternal.
The first law
The first law is just related to energy, conservation of energy.
Are there any more of those laws?
That's all we need to talk about. All right. Go ahead.
Your Creator Son can actually be such a living channel from humanity to divinity because, since he has personally experienced the fullness of the traversal of this universe path of progression. From the true humanity of Joshua ben Joseph, the Son of Man, to the paradise divinity of Michael of Nebadon, the Son of the Infinite God. Similarly, can the Supreme Being function as the universe approach to the transcendence of finite limitations? For he is the actual embodiment and personal epitome of all creature evolution, progression, and spiritualization. Even the grand universe experiences of the descending personalities from paradise are that part of his experience which is complemental to his summation of the ascending experiences of the pilgrims of time.
And just noticed just one little thing in there. Actual embodiment, the Almighty, personal epitome, the Mother. Okay, you know, epitome, you know, a summary that's been brought to a pithy focus. Okay, the focalizer. Okay, that's the Mother part. You know, and then just the, you know, the, like we said, the body, you can think of the body of the Supreme Being is really, you know, what you currently now call the Almighty Supreme. You know, that's the body of the Supreme Being, you know, the embodiment, actual embodiment. Again, going from potential to actual with the Almighty, actual to real with the Mother. Personal epitome, real. Okay. So they just do it over and over and over again.
Since he's now a master son, he is the way. So everybody after Pentecost in the local universe has
this nice not in the whole local universe. I mean, you know, remember, you don't get a spirit of truth until you have a bestowed son. So all the planets in the local universe that haven't had a bestowed son yet, you know, there's no spirit of truth in play yet.
Okay.
And it comes into play as soon as they get a bestowed son.
I was leading up to the question mark. But before a master son, or the spirit of truth, as the case may be, people still grow and end up transcending the local universe and moving on.
Right.
So what's the way before Michael would?
We're here. That's why it's so important. No, it's why it's so important to figure out that there's this third column on this. Okay, you know, you grow up, the Mother grows you up to the supreme level.
Oh, okay, so there's no, I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
You know, see, so you need to be, you know, brought up by the upholder until you get high enough that the adjuster can reach you.
Is that between 3 and 4?
Just going up from 0 to 4, you know, to getting up to a third circler, you know, it's a pure growth thing prior to, you know, and it's still a growth thing now. It's just it's accelerated because you've got the spirit of truth bringing in that accelerant of the adjuster while you're still a seventh circler.
Mortal man is more than figuratively made in the image of God. From a physical standpoint, this statement is hardly true. but with reference to certain universe potentialities, it is an actual fact. In the human race, something of the same drama of evolutionary attainment is being unfolded as it takes place on a vastly larger scale in the universe of universes. Man, a volitional personality, becomes creative in liaison with an adjuster, an impersonal entity, in the presence of the finite potentialities of the Supreme. And the result is the flowering of an immortal soul. In the universes, the creator personalities of time and space function in liaison with the impersonal spirit of the Paradise Trinity and become thereby creative of a new power potential of deity reality.
Okay. This is really the kind of the key paragraph of the night. And it's where you can begin to understand the picture that's laid out in this chart from your perspective. Why, really start to understand why the Supreme is so relevant. See, they're drawing this parallel between you and the big picture in this paragraph. Okay, so we talked about this. The creators, you know, initiated by the great initiator, the Universal Father, you know, you have this downreach in the creators coming down this side of the sevenfold. Okay? And from spirit through mind to matter, they link over to the controllers and create that upwelling phenomenon of the Almighty, you know, expressing on this fourth level here, the Almighty. Okay? So you have that, you know, that engine, you know, that's initiated by the Universal Father. Okay, and once you have that almighty upward flow established, you've got the downward flow of the mother right next to it. Mm-hmm. I said why we put them in this order. Mm-hmm. Okay, it goes from right to left, see, in an understanding. And so you have the upward flow of the Almighty and the downward flow of the mother, you know, in relationship to the two. And like they're just pointing out there, the super additive consequence of that relationship, you know, is this oversoul. You know, you can literally think of it, you know, that's that oversoul of the finite comes into existence. You're doing exactly the same thing. Okay? From the Father, you're given personality. He initiates you. It reaches down and engages you, makes you a being. And you recognize that you are. I am. That personal recognition. Think about how we already talked about this. What comes next? You have that personal recognition. You know, Father reached down, engaged you. Personal recognition. You reach across and you begin to progressively bring yourself that thing origin part of you, that animal origin, material-minded self, is progressively brought under control. And when you start, that animal self is stationary, because it's coming from it's mother-like. You bring this father-like direction, that it's reached down and you've brought over, across from your personal responsibility, recognition, over into yourself and started to control it. You start to create an upward moving phenomenon. It's not an animal anymore, it's called a human. Remember, we've pointed this out. What does the word human literally mean? You know, coming up from the humus, from the dirt. You know, it's an upward arrow word. It literally means an upward arrow. Okay? Father reaches down, initiates it. You reach across and start to create an upward flow, a human flow. Okay? That human flow is right next to a down flow coming from a fragment of the infinite upholder, the adjusters reaching down. The human flow, the adjuster flow, the two superadditive consequence of the two is your soul, which grows up the psychic circles. You know, Creator's down, Almighty up, Mother down, superadditive consequence, the Supreme Being, the Oversoul. You, personal, engagement, progressive self-control, human upward movement, mother-like adjuster downreach. The two, superadditive consequence of the two is a transcendent fact, your soul, which moves up the cosmic levels, progressively moves up the cosmic levels. We do that because the Supreme does that. We're one and the same phenomenon. The mechanics is the same. Okay? And the Father is just engagement. That initial engagement. You know, look at all the steps in order to get over to this, to the psychic circles, which is what, you know, they tell you in the fifth epical revelation you want to be doing. You want to be moving inward, you know, moving up the cosmic levels, moving inward in the psychic circles. You've got to bring it all the way across. It has to go from personal responsibility or a faith recognition. It has to go from a faith recognition to a progressively controlled self from spirit through mind to matter, you know, which comes into relationship with a mother-like phenomenon reaching down, which produces a soul. Okay? And only through all those steps. Okay, so like I said, that's a key paragraph. And they've laid all the foundation. You know, we were motivated to create this chart before we got to this paragraph because they're trying to build to the point where you've got the picture all there. Okay? All right.
Where am
I? Mortal man.
Okay, thank you. Mortal man, being a creature, is not exactly like the Supreme Being, who is deity. But man's evolution does in some ways resemble the growth of the Supreme. Man consciously grows from the material toward the spiritual by the strength, power, and persistency of his own decisions.
Not his choices.
He also grows as his thought adjuster develops new techniques for reaching down from the spiritual to the morontial soul levels. And once the soul comes into being, begins to grow in and of itself.
That we haven't brought up yet. See, that's the next part of the picture. Remember, you know, we started to touch on that back when we were talking about the soul, the adjuster and the soul. You know, once you have a soul, that soul is a self. It has a Marantia-minded self, separate from your mind. It makes decisions. You know, and you make decisions with your mortal mind. The question is, can you progressively get those two to come together? Well, they're separated. The only way they're linked is through the adjuster. The adjuster brings the decision forms of the soul down into the adjutant mind, and where you can ignore them, or you can try to strike step with them. Yeah, and he said, "Well, I thought the soul was just a copy of me." Not totally. See. It actually is going to start to grow in and of itself.
It is alive.
Right. It's starting to grow. Now, you know, it's sad to record, you know, that, you know, very, you know, most people aren't taking a delight in cultivating a, you know, the favorable conditions that it's going to lead to a lot of soul growth in and of itself. But see, once you get the process going, you can actually start to, there'll be stuff up here that you haven't, you don't have yet. And the adjuster is going to be bringing that down. And so you can start to leverage this process, see, and it can start to grow geometrically instead of just arithmetically. One brick, two bricks, you know. You can start to feed back in this positive feedback loop because it starts to grow in and of itself. The Supreme is doing this. Remember, the Oversoul, the exact same thing is happening. Now, here the adjuster brings those down. Remember how they've pointed out the relationship between the adjuster in you and the Trinity relative to the Supreme? You know, think about this picture that they started us out with tonight. Supreme being and then coming down as the Supreme. You know, think of that as you have these forms of this synthesis and, you know, and unification in the Supreme Being. Through the functioning of the Trinity, i.e. the mother, the down, you know, and we saw the down, you know, they actually had the adjuster point, you know, reaching down in that one sentence we just read. See, that mother, that Trinity function, bringing those forms down into the finite domain. And everything is catalyzed by those forms. Just like your consciousness, your mortal consciousness, could be catalyzed by soul forms that are brought down by the adjuster. Okay? So the Supreme, you're starting to see in parallel to the understanding yourself as a catalytic phenomenon. It's being brought down just like those decision forms of the soul are brought down into your mind. All right, let it build here.
This is somewhat like the way in which the Supreme Being expands. His sovereignty grows in and out of the acts and achievements of the Supreme Creator personalities. That is the evolution of the majesty of his power as the ruler of the grand universe. His deity nature is likewise dependent on the pre-existent unity of the Paradise Trinity. But there is still another aspect of the evolution of God the Supreme. He is not only creator evolved and Trinity derived, he is also self-evolved and self-derived. God the Supreme is himself a volitional, creative participant in his own deity actualization. The human morontial soul is likewise a volitional, co-creative partner in its own immortalization.
See, we basically have already said all that, see. You know, again, remember, Supreme Creator personalities, that's getting the Almighty, you know, upflowing, you know, and then in combination with, you know, with the Trinity, like they're saying, the Mother. But see, they're trying to point out that, to bring in a third thing here into the picture. Like I said, so you have the Almighty flowing up and the Mother flowing down, but then you also have the Supreme. See, but there's still another aspect of the evolution of God the Supreme. There is this Supreme Being that you can think of as expressing directly as the Supreme, this third thing. So that down here you have the downflow of the Mother, the upflow of the Almighty, and the presence of the Supreme as a catalyzer for bringing those two together. Those are the three processes, and you have the same thing. You have the adjuster, and if you've chosen, you have an upflowing human phenomenon, and then you can actually start to have these forms that are brought down, you know, from the soul directly, and the three are working together.
Mm-hmm. So the soul has to be an independent sort of reality so that when you die, you have someplace to go.
Right, see, from a bottom-up viewpoint, it's like, you know, it's just this copy. But see, you can understand more about yourself if you start to look at it both top-down and bottom-up at the same time. Okay? All right, let's move on here.
The Father collaborates with the conjoint actor in manipulating the energies of Paradise and in rendering these responsive to the Supreme. The Father collaborates with the Eternal Son in the production of creator personalities whose acts will sometime culminate in the sovereignty of the Supreme. The Father collaborates with both Son and Spirit in the creation of Trinity personalities to function as rulers of the grand universe until such time as the completed evolution of the Supreme qualifies him to assume that sovereignty. The Father cooperates with his deity and non-deity coordinates in these and many other ways in the furtherance of the evolution of supremacy. But he also functions alone in these matters. And his solitary function is probably best revealed in the ministry of the thought adjusters and their associated entities.
See, that was all the hints that we already picked up on and applied, the whole picture of the adjuster's relationship to the Almighty and this supreme being down to supreme, just like soul down into your mind. Yeah, part of the picture, as a third part of the picture.
Deity is unity, existential in the Trinity, experiential in the Supreme, and in mortals, creature realized in adjuster fusion. The presence of the thought adjusters in mortal man reveals the essential unity of the universe. For man, the lowest possible type of universe personality contains within himself an actual fragment of the highest and eternal reality, even the original father of all personalities. The Supreme Being evolves by virtue of his liaison with the Paradise Trinity and in consequence of the divinity successes of the Creator and Administrator children of that Trinity. Man's immortal soul evolves its own eternal destiny by association with the divine presence of the Paradise Father and in accordance with the personality decisions of the human mind. What the Trinity is to God the Supreme, the adjuster is to evolving man.
See, so there it is. There's summing it all up. And we already basically put that whole picture together. That's what they want you to get, that picture repainted. Of human mind, upward moving mind. In the Father, there can't be an upward moving mind without the Father. That faith grasp is essential. Nothing starts until that. It doesn't matter how much down flowing adjuster phenomenon there is. If there's nothing flowing upward, the focalizer needs the summarizer. And the summarizer needs the focalizer. You need both directions. So you need the Father and the Mother. And remember I pointed out they basically had this last sentence a while back. And there they were just kind of getting you started on that parallel, where they were saying, pointing to the more static-like, the foundational parallel, that just like your adjuster is a foundation for you, you can think of the Trinity as a foundation for the Supreme. Here they're really pointing out the more dynamic thing, like we were just doing. You have this very dynamic, even threefold picture of flows and super additive consequences. It's all this dynamic system. They're very much in parallel. What the Trinity is to God the Supreme, the adjuster is to you. If you're evolving, see, you notice it does, again, see, they, if you have an ing adjective in front of you, if you're progressing and perfecting and, if you just exist, if you just are, it's not what we're looking for. You have to be doing something as well as be something.
During the present universe age, the Supreme Being is apparently unable to function directly as a creator, except in those instances where the finite possibilities of action have been exhausted by the creative agencies of time and space. Thus far in universe history, this has transpired but once, when the possibilities of finite action in the matter of universe reflectivity had been exhausted. Then did the Supreme function as the creative culminator of all antecedent creator actions. And we believe he will again function as a culminator in future ages whenever antecedent creatorship is completed, an appropriate cycle of creator activity.
Creative activity. Okay, one little thing you got to notice there.
They didn't tell
because us. They basically just put a little flashing neon arrow in a paragraph that allows you to do what we've already done. Create this third column in the chart. Like I said, when it finally dawned in my mind, again, what was the last piece I was missing? It's this cosmic level 3 in this mother column, the creative mother agencies of the Ancients of Days. Exhausted by the creative agencies, okay, search for the phrase creative agencies. And what, you know, besides here, what will you find? You'll find, you know, the unrevealed creative agencies of the Ancients of Days, okay? And remember, when we first introduced this, we've talked about what they're saying here. Once you have the master spirits giving rise to the reflective mother spirits, and the Ancients of Days giving rise to the creative mother agencies, once you have that full picture there, you have where the finite possibilities of action have been exhausted by the last piece, the creative agencies, you know, them functioning together, the master spirits, you know, and tied to that, you know, collectively, on the collective level rather than the individual super universe level. When you had all that, it's all, everything that you can do in the finite is done, and so the Supreme Being responds with the creation of Magistan. Yeah, that's, you know, that's what we're talking about. And see, they're trying to give you the hint to get this whole picture in play by actually using the expression creative agencies. That's that last little piece of the mother picture that has to get in place so that you have everything, you've exhausted everything in the finite relative to what is going to happen now as a response, that reflectivity response, you know, of Magistan.
The Supreme Being did not create man, but man was literally created out of, his very life was derived from, the potentiality of the Supreme. Nor does he evolve man, yet is the Supreme himself the very essence of evolution. From this finite standpoint, we actually live, move, and have our being within the immanence of the Supreme.
Ooh, there they did it again. Remember, they challenge us to take truth, beauty, and goodness, and even love, and put them directly to the Supreme, rather than directly to the Father. You know, technically, it's, you know, super beauty, super truth, super goodness, super love that are tied to the Father. Here they just did it again. That thing that we, you know, as soon as someone says actually live and move and have our being, everyone goes, Father. No, they didn't say that. They said the Supreme. They're trying to do it again. They're trying to get you to take another step in really understanding what the Father really is, just how transcendent a fact the Father really is. And hence, just how incredible it is that that Father connects to you directly. Yeah. It's one thing for the Supreme to touch you. You're in the Supreme, imminent with the Supreme. Okay? The Father is. And so how cool is that? That's what they're trying to get you to recognize. You know? Don't make the Father some little thing. You'll miss the majesty of what the Father has done. Reached across an infinite distance to get to you. You know, it isn't just a voice from a burning bush on some desolate mountaintop. It's a voice from infinity and eternity, clear as a bell, bridging that gap and inside your mind. That's how cool it is. Okay? You know, and you have to just progressively let these things that are more imminent be just that, more imminent, so that the really, really transcendent, really cool part of it can be just that, coming from that infinitely transcendent fact of the Father and reaching you nonetheless.
Then you can worship.
Then you will not be able to stop yourself from worshiping. Okay? Burning bushes can be ignored. You know, the light of the infinite in your mind can. You will worship.
Okay? The Supreme Being did not... The Supreme apparently cannot initiate original causation, but appears to be the catalyzer of all universe growth and is seemingly destined to provide totality culmination as regards the destiny of all experiential evolutionary beings. The Father originates the concept of the finite cosmos. The Creator Sons factualize this idea in time and space, with the consent and cooperation of the creative spirits. The Supreme culminates the total finite and establishes its relationship with the destiny of the absentite.
Okay, just two little things that they want to leave you with before they go into the next section, and we'll pick up next time with a bit of poetic majesty to sort of absorb all of this. The first thing is put what they say in these two paragraphs together. Notice they say that, you know, you have all these things about the Supreme, but nor does he evolve man. You know, see, we've already figured this out. You know, we're not evolved by the Supreme. We're evolved by the Mother. Yeah. The Supreme is this unifying, synthesizing catalyst. See, they use that in that last paragraph. Catalyst that we're immersed in. So that when we come into tune with this two-directional flow, we finally have a relationship with the adjuster, you know, and human nature. We have this phenomenon, and it's going to do something. Then there's going to be a super additive consequence of that. What's it going to look like? Where does it get its pattern from? What results? The Supreme is the pattern. What does unifying, synthesizing, what does the super additive consequence look like? It's the Supreme. The Supreme sea is immersed in this, you know, this bidirectional flow is immersed in the Supreme. It acts as a catalyst for what results? Acts, reacts, results. Just like, you know, the infinite one, the infinitude, and the infinity. So you started out with, you know, you know, that thing that's like the infinite, like John pointed out. I am that which is. Now we fully see that next step, going from the singular facet of the deity, the I am, to that threefold, where you have I am that which acts, I am that which reacts, and I am that which results. I am that which acts, I am that which reacts, and I am that which results, the soul. See? Now you're starting to see yourself fitting into a much bigger picture. Yeah, once you've got this whole, you know, but it all has to start out with being this. But then what? Then all this. And just the one other little thing to leave, because we touched on this a little bit. And they brought up the transcendent things of the Father is the way here, but then the Supreme is the way beyond that. This statement about he's destined to provide totality culmination as regards the destiny of all experiential evolutionary beings. And it kind of repeats that a little bit in a later sentence there. That's this last step in the process. We're six-stage spirits. You know, we go out as finalities as six-stage spirits. That seven-stage spirit thing. What's added? It comes from the Supreme. Remember, right now you're a child of the Universal Mother, but eventually you're going to be a son of the Supreme Being. When the Son gives you a fragment of himself, what they're talking about here, this totality culmination. See, he's going to give you this, and you know, he then and all of us, because of what he's given us, will transcend the finite. That's that final leverage. What he needs is coming from above, and what we need is coming from him, and then together we all transcend the finite together. That's what they're alluding to here, that going from sixth stage to seventh stage spirit, and the Supreme is a key to that. And it's at that point that the Supreme Being is sort of functioning in this full father-like mode now, where it's all together and there's this unified summation. And just as the Father freed himself from the fetters of unqualified infinity, now the Supreme Being has freed himself from the fetters of unqualified supremacy. And he brought all of us with him. Yeah. And that's what I am. All right. So like I said, next time we'll pick up with a, you know, we're building towards section 6, where we really bring in the Mother. They want to give us a little bit more on the Oversoul and then the finite God before they get there. But this next section is kind of fun. It's got a lot of sweeping prose. Let's take a moment, reflect on all these things.